Hello and welcome back to Ulcerative Colitis Motherhood and Me. I'm Ulcerative Colitis Mama, and what a difference a week has made. So for those of you who joined in on my last podcast episode will know that I'd had hit a bit of a wall, had a bit of a blip, and surprisingly I've come through the other side. So today's episode I just wanted to focus on that really, and just how my sort of perception of things and kind of how my anxiety affects kind of rational thought really, and how I've kind of, you know, managed to sort of overcome another sort of bump in the road, if you like. So as always, a lot of the content that I post, particularly on my podcast, does evolve around sort of mental health. So appreciate that that can be a little bit triggering for some people. So as always, I do put a trigger warning in place just as listener discretion is advised. So let's get started with today's episode. So before I plunge straight into the episode itself, just a bit of a heads up that the podcast platform that I use to obviously record my material and post it, I think there's going to be some changes to it soon, sort of later on in the year. So there is a possibility that I may not be able to sort of use this platform for future podcasting after the summer. So I will try and sort of source another platform to use if the one that they're merging over to might not work. So so just a heads up, you know, I will try and keep podcasting. I find it really, really cathartic. I find it almost like a journal that I can kind of put my thoughts and feelings out to the universe, you know, without sort of having to write things down, without having to bottle things up either. So, you know, I really, really appreciate, you know, everybody that's listened to any of my content and or followed any of my sort of associated social media. So thank you to everybody that continues to listen, or if this is your first time listening, welcome, this is a safe space. So yeah, just to kind of I'm hoping it'll be okay. I've kind of had a look at the new kind of merge, and it's kind of, it looks like it's going to be heavily video based, which I don't kind of want to do. I don't really want to do the vlogs. You know, I know I post pictures and stuff on Instagram and occasionally on Facebook and things, but yeah, I'm not too sure about doing like a video recorded podcast. It's not kind of something I wanted to do. I feel a little bit more safer, a little bit more kind of secure being able to record just audio and not have to worry about kind of what I look like. So yeah, so that's kind of what's going on at the moment. But anyway, I digress, as I often do. So yeah, my last episode, which was about a week ago, was vastly different to how I feel today, thankfully. So yeah, just a quick recap. I had a bit of a meltdown in my new job last week, which resulted in me taking some sick leave. I just things just got on top of me. I had particularly difficult cases to deal with, and although I've got like a surrounding team that I work with, my close colleagues were both away on holiday, so I was effectively running the service by myself, or at least part of the service by myself, which was a blessing and a curse. You know, it provided me with a lot of learning experience and learning opportunities to, you know, focus on, you know, being a specialist. But at the same time, I was dealt a pretty poor hand, really, because I was I had to deal with a lot of complex cases, and effectively I was working in isolation. And I'm still getting kind of used to working on my own, working, you know, having worked on wards and things and worked in as a part of a large community team previously. I've gone from like kind of a massive team to a very, very small one, and a lot of the work that I do is lone working. It's, you know, working in isolation and having to make quite, you know, thinking on my feet a lot more and having to make decisions, which, you know, is not too dissimilar to what I was doing before, but I just feel even more isolated now. And I think I just let a lot of things get on top of me. And I'm very self-aware when it comes to my mental health and well-being, so I know when I'm heading for a bit of a bad time. So I know when to take a step back and pause and reflect and just sort of gather my thoughts and sort of bounce back a little bit. Because previously I didn't recognize the signs, and I would, go forth into sort of a full-on mental health crisis, and that's not what I want to, that's something I've been able to stop myself from, from when I've been under the care of the mental health team and when I've had counselling and things, that I've been taught sort of like tools and sort of safety netting, really, and just and at the end of the day, my health has got to come first, and I have to appreciate that, and that, no job is worth your mental health at the end of the day. So, I was able to sort of stop, recognize, pause, and communicate with those, especially in work, to just to say, look, I'm not well at the minute. I need to take a bit of a break. And because this is my, I've only been in the post, less than 6 months, and I'm still getting to know the people and the management and everybody that I work with. And I don't know if it's the same for other people, but having had a history of, having a particularly profound history with anxiety, and depression, I'm always very conscious on how other people are going to respond to that. And I do, I am very honest. I don't tend to overshare, but I do tend to open up, and once I feel comfortable with the team and with the people I'm with, that I do, I feel comfortable to kind of share some of my past with them. And again, I was quite nervous on the response I would get, really, because I have had in the past, not necessarily in my previous job, but in other roles and other situations, I've been in positions where people haven't been so sympathetic, and that just kind of pushes things down even further when you feel that you're not, your well-being doesn't matter to other people. And I'm always conscious that people are going to judge me for my past, and just how, how much of a worrier and how anxious I am as a person. So I was completely taken aback by the response I did get when I went off on sick leave, because I'm the youngest member of the service. I'm by probably at least 15 years, 10, 15 years maybe. I'm one of the youngest, so I'm dealing with, a slightly different generation of people, and sometimes, and not always, you do get older generations not being as sympathetic. It's a very much stiff upper lip and get on with it kind of thing, and don't worry, and stop being miserable kind of environment. And actually, I didn't get that, so it was kind of quite surprising, really, because in the back of my mind, I was almost on the defense because I was prepared for a negative response, when I admitted that, my anxiety got on top of me, and I'm not able to function, so I need to take a couple of days just to calm myself down, to be able to sort of take a step back, reevaluate the situation, and move through it. And I was really, really surprised by the response. So first of all, my manager, my line manager, who I obviously contacted as soon as I called in sick, was incredibly sympathetic. And I've mentioned that on my previous podcast episode anyway, that she met me with such kindness, and she was very much of a, you go and do what you need to do, come back, get better, as you would if you were physically unwell. And she said, don't worry, I'll sort everything out from this end. You don't panic. You just, take a breather. Don't let any of this be a reflection on how you work. You're amazing. Just take a couple of days just to, get some rest and come back. Which was, really wow, having had previous sort of negative experiences, that's kind of blew me away a little bit. And equally, I work with a couple of doctors, a couple of consultants, who are, obviously specialist doctors in their field. And I think there was a little bit of miscommunication where they didn't realise that I was off sick, and they were actually quite worried because they hadn't had a response from me all day. And anyway, one of the consultants sent me a message and was like, is everything okay? Are you coming to the meeting this afternoon? And I said, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm off sick. Manager was gonna, let you know. And again, I probably mentioned this on my previous podcast episode, but the response I got was, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I hope you're okay. Please reach out if you need anything. We're always here, and again, I was just kind of blown away by the kindness. And so anyway, I went back into work on Tuesday following the Easter break, and I was quite apprehensive. Because my two colleagues didn't know I'd been off sick, and because I didn't want to trouble them, I didn't want them to, at the end of the, they were on holiday, so it wasn't fair to for me to sort of put that on them, really. And I thought, oh, how am I going to tell my colleague, my colleagues that I've not managed, that I've had a bit of a meltdown. Anyway, it was fine. I did get a little bit upset, and I got a hug, and they said, honestly, don't let these things get to you. Please don't worry. We all have bad, we all have bad days and weeks and things, and sometimes it's just the nature of the job. Sometimes you do get, really, really complex cases, and they get, and you do feel quite isolated, but you're not on your own. You've got people to ask, you've got, lines to escalate, you've got, please don't sort of let this be, please don't let this knock your confidence. We've all been there. You're still quite new to the service. There's still a lots to learn. And I knew that as well. And I knew that, I've only been in the role 6 months. I know I've learned a lot in that 6 months. And I know in the next 6 months, I'll learn even more. And, after a good long chat with my colleague, she sort of said, she said, I know you don't feel like it now, but if you look back 6 months, 12 months from now, you'll laugh at this because you'll think, how the heck did I not cope? And I said, I don't know about laughing about it, but I'll certainly reflect on it. And it, in a way, it's all learning. It's all a learning experience. And she said, there'll be times where you think, well, I could have done that differently, and I won't do, or if I have this sort of, opportunity again, maybe I won't do it this way, or I will do it that way, or, so she said it's all about reflecting and drawing upon it, and it's experience and it's maturing. And I said, well, I've been a nurse for a long time. It's not, the job isn't new to me. It's the being so specialized in that field, and getting to know, who can have what and what to do. And everybody's an individual, every patient's different, every presentation's different, so it's just learning constantly, basically. And and it was okay, and I had a good day, so I felt better, I felt refreshed, I slept better, I ate better. I was, my mind was clearer, I didn't feel foggy headed, I didn't panic. And of course, I had my colleague there to reassure me and to, to shadow, essentially. And anyway, the following day, we met up with my other colleague, with my consultant, and she said, right, I'm coming over to the hospital. We'll meet in the canteen, and we'll have, it's kind of an ongoing joke that we have a hot chocolate. And the three of us sat down. And she said, I really, really felt for you when you were off sick last week, Lauren. It really upset me because, we've all been there. She said, even me as a, as a consultant, said that I feel the pressures. I understand the working in isolation, regardless of the people you have around you. I completely understand where you're coming from. And it was really reassuring. And she said, right, we need to make sure that you don't feel like this again. What we can do is we can look at different ways, pathways. We can look at, we'll work together on making things easier for you so you feel less, you're not going to feel overwhelmed. She said, we've all been there. And she said, you know, it's different for your colleagues who have been doing the job, you know, for years and years. You know, it's not the same for you because you're still so new. And I was completely blown away by how kind she was. And I even had a hug off her as well. And, you know, it was genuine. And she's incredibly compassionate, and very gentle and very, you know. And you know, where I thought the day before I went off that I thought I'd upset her and that I'd angered her in some way by making the wrong decision and things, you know, it's almost like she doesn't dwell on things. She moves on. She moves forward. And you know, and I appreciate that, you know, that some people can just do that. It's a little bit harder when you have anxiety and you know, you do dwell on things, and sometimes you dwell on things that happened years and years ago, and they kind of come back and as intrusive thinking. And it was great. And I went up to the meeting on Wednesday afternoon, and the other consultant, who's this like big guy, he's a little bit more kind of to the point. He's European, so he's very you know, very direct in his speaking, but he's not rude, he's just very direct. And he was even saying, oh, it's so good to have you back, I'm so sorry that you know, that you weren't well last week, and we don't want you overwhelmed. You know, it's this kind of work can burn you out, and we don't want that happening to you, so please reach out, please talk to us, you know, we're here to support you, you know, we're always here. And I was like, wow, these people are actually really nice, you know, because I always see, you know, and it's very difficult when you see it from your perspective, because I think with mental health, society, you know, and sort of people's attitudes towards mental health have never, not always been so positive or been so supportive. So when you're met with positive, sort of reinforcement, it kind of takes you away, because you're almost expecting people to be like, oh, just get on with it, this is what you're paid for, if you can't do the job, leave, you know, this is, what did you expect? You know, I felt that that would be the kind of response I would get, and they didn't get that. So it was like, what? So you know, I was really, really taken aback. And you know, I was quite moved by the sentiment, really. And I felt a lot more positive. I felt better in my outlook, and I knew that these sort of situations are like blue moon sort of situations where I'm never going to have that combination of complex cases again. I will get complex cases again, because unfortunately the type of speciality that I'm in does kind of equate to complexity. So, and everybody's different. No two patients are the same, because we're all individuals, and we, you know, we perceive things differently, and we respond to things differently. And you know, but I'm looking forward to, I've made some applications to go back to uni, which I really, really hope come through. And I'm hoping to do my nurse prescribing, which will hopefully give me more confidence in my decision making. You know, and I'll be sort of, it'll be on the job training as well as going to uni once a week. So I'm really, really hoping I get on these two courses, because I think all they'll do is sort of reinforce my confidence in my work, and that's kind of what I'm aiming for. And you know, I've had a good week in work. You know, I've had a 4-day week, but it's been good. It's been busy, but in a good way. It's been controlled, it's been achievable, it's been manageable, there's been nothing too complex. And I've had my senior colleagues with me the entire time, and I feel like I've got the whole support of the you know, the sort of overall service, if you like. Oh, so I had to cut that short again. You know me and my editing skills aren't very good, so I decided to have a coughing fit right in the middle of that sort of segment then. So hopefully, I'm not gonna get to this level of feeling overwhelmed again. And I did go and see my manager sort of Thursday, and she was like, "Oh, I'm so glad you're back, and I'm so glad you're feeling better." And I said, I couldn't have done it without you and you and the rest of the team. I feel very supported. And I said, it's just one of these things. I'm still getting used to the role, and I get like this sometimes. And I felt like that was a cue, to be honest. And I said, sometimes if I get a bit overwhelmed, I know I have to take a step back. And she said, no, that you did the right thing. Because I said, if I had come into work feeling how I felt then, I wouldn't have been able to do my job to the best of my ability. And having spoken to both my manager, my consultant, my senior colleagues, we agreed that basically me taking leave of absence for 2 days was the safe decision, because then it's things like you become very, very overwhelmed, and that's where mistakes happen, and potentially that's where it will only sort of exacerbate the feelings that you're feeling, because if you make mistakes, you get more anxious, and so on and so forth. It becomes a vicious cycle. So I know I did the right thing. I always feel guilty when I go off sick, but I've got to the point now that there's nobody else that's going to protect my mental health. Only I can do that. Nobody else is going to say, "Lauren, maybe you need to take a couple of days off," because nobody's going to say that to me. I need to make that decision myself. At the end of the day, it's a nothing's going to happen if I'm not there. And things will keep ticking over whether I'm there or not. So me taking a couple of days just to get my head straight, get my mind clear, get back to eating and sleeping better, getting better motivated is only a positive thing in my mind. So yeah, it's been quite a positive week, and I think I've got things to look forward to, and I it's almost like the fog's lifted, because this time last week I felt incredibly down and edgy and snappy and irritable, and I just lost all motivation, I lost enjoyment in anything, and I knew that if I didn't sort of address those issues, then I knew they were only going to spiral from there. And the last thing I want is to become depressed again. And that is not a good place at all. And it's a very difficult place to recover from. And I knew that this is why I am so self-aware of my mental well-being, is I know when things are starting to go a little bit skew if is when I know I need to take a step back and reevaluate what's going on. So when I start to feel a bit overwhelmed, I know I have to sort of very much bring on the self-care element. And it had always been difficult for me in the past, but now I kind of know what I need to do. And it usually involves the five senses, really. So things like sort of reading. So that kind of helps as a big distraction. but I realised it's just the type of things I was reading. So before all this started to well up, I was reading a horror book, and I thought, well, this isn't conducive because this is making me more anxious. And I know it's a book and it's not real, but it wasn't diverting my attention away enough. So I shelved that book, and I thought, do you know what, I'll come back to that again. It's a good book. It's not, there's nothing wrong with it. It was just I wasn't in the right headspace to do it, to read it. So I went and started reading a fantasy book, which helped draw my attention well away from my current situation, if you like. It was otherworldly. There was nothing relatable. So it was very much like, there you go, my brain can go somewhere else for an hour or two a night just to help settle me down, and it gave me something else to think about. I did start think I like sort of skincare and stuff, so I looked at things that might help me relax a bit more. So like, special body butters and pillow mists and stuff that are specific to people, you know, to for sleep. So, because I like those smells, I like those kind of calming lavendery smells. So I got some of that, and that helped as well. I started doing guided meditations again, and the app that I use does an what they call a deep release guided meditation, which helps bring on sleep and relaxation. But they also do one specific to anxiety, where they kind of give you a lot of reassurance to bring you back out of the anxiety episode, particularly if it's like a panic attack. And although I didn't kind of get to the level of panic attack, I was very aware that that's what could have happened, what could have if I'd stayed in work. So I listened to those. Again, it was a bit like a meditation. It was affirmations, it was, you know, reassurance, and it was impartial, so it was very, you know, helpful in that sense. But it did bring on a lot of emotion, because it was, you know, it was comfort. And similar to that, it was I with it being Easter weekend, I was able to eat a bit more chocolate, so it was eating things that I like, you know, that were giving me sort of like a little bit of an you know, comfort food, if you like, without overindulging. And walking is probably my biggest, it's definitely my, you know, one of my biggest sort of self-care go-tos. And because I live quite rurally, I what I would just describe it as semi-rural. So I live in a village that is quite built up, but it's, you know, close enough to the countryside that I've got somewhere to escape to. And so last Saturday, I took the dog and the child for a 4 mile walk through the countryside, and it was sunny. It was a little bit cooler, but it was sunny. There was sunshine. It was dry, and that was a really big mood stabilizer for me. And a lot of it is getting out into nature. I find being in the countryside, particularly where I live, there's a lot of forests, there's a lot of country roads. So I'm very lucky that I've got access to all those areas. And I'm not very well motivated if the weather's poor, but I was very lucky last weekend that it held out for at least one day, that I could go out and get some fresh air and not sit and overthink, is what I quite often do. So they're my sort of main self-care tips, really, that work for me. You know, obviously everybody's different and things work differently for different people. So that helped bring things back down anyway. And then of course then I try and sort of give myself my own affirmations that, you know, this isn't going to repeat of last week. I'm going to have my senior colleagues back for support. I'm going to be open and honest with them and say that I didn't manage. You know, and I'm going to carry on and move on and move forward and not dwell on the last couple of weeks, because they're not going to happen again. They've been and gone. I'm going to learn from those and move forward. And that's been a massive, massive help. And, you know, I've always got, you know, I am always worrying about something or someone, or you know, things lying ahead. But then I think, well, I've only got this week upcoming, and then I'm off the following week. So again, it's a little bit of a circuit breaker in terms of, you know, being mindful of my mental health. And I've got another tattoo booked, which I know it's a bit of a strange thing to look forward to. But you know, and I've mentioned it probably before, but the tattoo studio I'm going is very mental health orientated. So, and they really, really engage well with sort of promoting mental wellness and being people to talk to, basically, because sometimes it is easy to talk to people that are impartial. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the design, obviously. I'm looking forward to having another tattoo. So that's coming up. And then, of course, like in a few weeks after that, we're going away abroad on holiday. It's going to be my son's first holiday abroad, and it's my first holiday abroad in about 10 years. So I'm looking forward to it. A little bit nervous, a little bit stressed, because I stress about everything. But you know, it's all good, it's all positive. I've got things to look forward to. We're looking at doing a mini road trip in the autumn in Scotland, so you know, looking at all the you know, sort of the scenic sort of things of Scotland, because I've never actually been, which I'm a little bit ashamed of, because it's not that far away, really. I mean, it's a good drive away, but you know, it's just on my bucket list. So we're looking at doing, you know, the big sort of the main sort of tours of Scotland in sort of October time. So there are things, you know, and I'm really, really trying to look forward to it. I'm looking forward to the prospect of hopefully going back to university if, you know, I mean, hopefully I've got my funding secured, and if the university obviously let me in. You know, I'm just waiting on confirmation, really, but I've got all my forms filled out, and so I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, and if anything, it gives me a study day a week. So I'm actually, you know, I'm only clinical for 4 days of the week, so it kind of gives me a little bit of a break in some ways. I probably won't be saying that if I do get on this course in the next 6 months, but you know, it's swings and roundabouts. And I really enjoyed my module I did last time, so it's the same tutor, it's the same university, so I'm looking forward to that if it does materialize, and I really, really hope it does. And I've got the support of other colleagues as well that will help me through that. So I've got things to look forward to. So, you know, I'm just trying to kind of focus on those. I've got family visiting from overseas. So again, I'm looking forward to that. I'm, you know, focusing on the good things and not letting my job completely consume me. So all's well that ends well, as they say. So I'm going to leave it there for today. But yes, I'm in a much better place. And, you know, for those who've sort of got in contact and asked how I am, I'm much better. I'm sort of 10 times better than I was last week. So thank you so much. Thank you for listening. As always, keep talking. Let's break down these stigmas of mental health and make it easier for people to talk. And I will speak to you guys soon. So take care. Goodbye.